Hi, this is Adam Amin, and you're listening to Squash Masters, a junior squash podcast. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing junior squash players and coaches for their tips, tricks, and interesting stories. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Welcome back to the Squash Masters podcast. On today's episode, we have Omar Elborlossi. He's one of the first players to help win Egypt the Men's World Team's Squash Championships in the rise of Egyptian squash. He represented Egypt at the World Team Championships in 1993, the 1995 World Team Squash Championships, 1997 World Team Squash Championships, before helping win Egypt the title for the first time in 1999. Omar's highest world ranking was number 14. After he retired, he started this junior squash training empire. Let's get into the interview. The first question is, what age did you start playing squash, and like, why did you start playing?
I started at around the age of five, almost 5 or 6 years old. So mm-hmm. My uncle used to be a squash player, the local squash player, not on the international level. He took me one of the day. I used to play swimming when I was young. I used to be a swimmer. And he took me to the squash court to try to play squash when I was almost 5 years old. And I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I kept going. I kept playing squash and swimming at the same time. I was in both teams till I was 10 or 11 years old. And then I quit swimming and focused on squash.
How do you think swimming helped you with your squash skills, like right now?
It helped me in everything. It helped me in my fitness, and even until now, it's a very good base. We always tell the youngsters to play swimming or gymnastics. Those are the two most important sports to start with. It's a very good base for any sport. It really helped me for my general fitness. And I still swim till now. Usually, I used to get some knee injuries on my professional career. When I was injured, I always go back to the swimming pool. That's the only thing that you can do when you have an injury and you can't run or you can't work out in the gym. Swimming really helps in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. When you were a junior, was squash popular in Egypt?
It was not very popular. No, yeah. Sometimes when I was young at school, when some of my friends ask me what do I play, and I say squash, not all of them. If they're not members in a private club where there are squash courts, they wouldn't really know what squash is. So it was popular in the private clubs where there are courts and squash players. But outside in the media. Or for the average person in the street, it was not really popular, no.
How do you think squash in Egypt has changed from then to current day?
It's a huge change. It's been 30, 35 years since that time. I'm talking about the 80s when I started playing. Maybe the biggest change was like mid-90s when we won the World Junior Championship for the first time, and the matches were live on TV. Mm-hmm. This was a very, very big step for squash. All our matches were live on TV. Many, many people saw it. The win was huge because it was the first time ever for Egypt to win a championship in squash or maybe in any other sport. It was very big, and it made squash very popular. Then also Egypt hosted in 1999 the World Championship for men World Championship, and we won it. And this was a home win. It was in Cairo Stadium. The stadium was packed every night. Also on live TV every night, everyone watched. That was the time that really squash boomed. In the mid-90s till the end of the 90s. And then after that, most of the other clubs that they didn't have squash courts, they started to build squash courts. All the older clubs, they started renovating the squash courts or build new squash complexes in the courts. Like the number of courts maybe in the 70s and the 80s in Egypt was around maybe 100 squash courts. Now it's almost 500 squash courts. So it's really multiplied in those years.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about your first first junior tournament? And if it was good and it was bad, and how many people?
It was, I was terrified. I was very young. I think I was almost 9, maybe 8.5, almost 9 years old. And at that time, there was no event under 11 or under 13. The youngest age group at that time was under 14. That was the youngest age group for the tournaments in Egypt in the 80s. I was 9 years old and I was playing under 14. I played my first match maybe with a boy who was like 13 years old. He was so big and much bigger and much taller and much stronger than me. I was so afraid. I had my heart beating so fast before the match. I played okay. I lost. Cried for a few minutes afterwards. Then everyone, my coach and my parents, were with me and were very supportive and just kept telling me that this is your first tournament and he's much bigger than you, so it's okay. And it was okay afterward. But I remember it all.
What was your first big win as a junior?
First big win. I had many wins at the junior, like in the local level. I won my first national tournament, like as Egyptian champion. It was under 12. That was when I was 11. I played with Ahmed Barada in the final. We were competing since we were very young. I won this under 12. That was my first win in the Egyptian nationals as an Egyptian champion. And then my first international win was in the Pan Arab tournament, which has all the Arab countries competing. That was my first international tournament. It was under 16 and I was still 13 and a half. I wasn't even 14. Played in Qatar and I won. That was also, that was my first international win, and it meant a lot to me. And this made me, before this I wasn't really motivated or I didn't really see myself as an international player. I was talking about when I was young, okay, I'm the Egyptian champion, I'm the best one in Egypt in my age group. But after winning my first international tournament, I started thinking that I can do better and I can excel on the international level.
That must have helped your confidence. Can you talk about your Egypt and the 1999 men's world teams and helping the Egyptian team win?
Definitely, I can talk for this for hours. I can say, when I'm asked what's my best sporting memory or what's my best sporting moment, I always say that's the one. Winning the final match, because also for me it was more special than anyone because I was playing the final match on the final day. It was against Wales. The final was against Wales. At that time, my ranking was, I think, 18 or 19 in the world, in the PSA ranking. And I was playing a very good player called David Evans. He was the Welsh player. Yep. He won the British Open and he was the world number 3. And I managed to beat him at this day, 3-1. Also in the Cairo Stadium, in front of my home crowd, my family, my friends, everyone was there. It was on national TV. I won the last match, which made Egypt win. I got so emotional. I kept crying, actually. Not just tears. I really cried for like 5 minutes after the match in the corner. And it was filmed on TV. Everyone saw me crying on TV after the match. It was very emotional and it was really my best athletic moment so far.
Can you tell us a bit about your first big professional win and what did you feel like after?
First professional win, if you talk about the PSA tournaments, I won 14 titles. The first one The first one was a small tournament. You know, when you just start playing professional tournaments, you need to start playing like satellite tournaments and small tournaments till your ranking gets better. But I better talk about my first big win was the Finnish Open in Finland. That was one of my best wins and my first big wins. I think 97 was in 96 or 97. I beat David Palmer in the final. David was the former world number one and former world champion. He's an Australian player, very good player. It was one of my best wins, beating Palmer in the final and winning the title of the Finnish Open.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think squash became more affordable in Egypt? Because earlier you were talking about how only private clubs had it and it wasn't very popular.
Because it was very exclusive. The number of courts was very limited, and very limited in the private clubs like Gezira, Maadi, Sporting Club in Alexandria. So very elite clubs. So it was a very elite sport that you have to be a member in those clubs, which are very expensive to membership in. So it was considered as an elite sport. When it became more and more popular, other clubs, less expensive clubs and less expensive places to play squash are opened, started to have the private academies, many private academies open that you don't have to be a member at any club to train. So it started spreading out. That's what bring like maybe more the class to play the game more than just the elite.
So what do you work as currently?
Can you explain that?
Like,
what do you mean?
Like, what's your job and what do you work as currently?
Now, what I do now, I have my own squash academy, which has my name, called Rossi Squash Academy. It was launched in 2005, we're almost 15 years ago. Just after my retirement, I started working like part-time to train in some of the private clubs as well. I wasn't very happy with the systems of the training and the management at the private clubs. So I decided to have my own squash academy where I can have my own, where I can put my own vision and my own training programs without interfering with lots of managerial stuff. So I started the academy in 2005 with just one branch in Cairo, in Maadi. And then almost every year or every 1 to 2 years, we opened a new branch. I always have this vision that I want to work on the development of the game. I need to reach as many people as possible to play the game, not just to train very few elite players. I want to spread the game. I want to have a big number of Egyptians to play the game. I'm always trying to look for new facilities to open new branches for the academy. Mm-hmm. Now we have 8 branches in different areas in Egypt, and we're still looking for more.
How did you manage to kind of start this squash training empire?
As I told you, just started with one branch. What we usually do, our standard setup is that we go to the clubs or anyone who already has squash courts or building squash courts, and we usually rent the squash courts or rent the whole squash complex to manage it under our umbrella, under Brolos Squash Academy. So we usually rent the squash facilities from the big clubs, and we work on this. We always go into negotiate with the new clubs that if they're gonna build new squash courts, we can rent the courts and have it. Like we don't own the facilities because it's very, in Egypt, it's very, very expensive and not really feasible to own your facility. You have to buy the land and a huge amount of money for construction. So what we usually do is like we rent already existing facilities to have our branches in them.
Mm-hmm. So you reached your highest world ranking on the professional world tour was number 14. That's what I read, at least. Can you tell us how you managed to reach that level of success?
By training, hard work and training for many, many, many years. Mm. I started playing on the professional tour when I was very young, when I was 17. I was still playing in the junior tournaments. I started playing professionally in 92, even before, like, our first win in the junior tournaments was 94. I was already playing in the professional circuit for 2 years, which gave me a huge amount of experience. I played lots of tournaments when I was very young, and I kept doing this. I reached the top 20 when I was almost 20 years old, maybe 19 and a half. Not before I was 20 years old, I was already in the top 20. And I stayed there till I retired, maybe 10 years later. It was one of my, maybe I had the potential, or I had the will to go better than reaching the world number 14. But I had many, many injuries. As I said, I had many knee injuries who really kept me from doing better in the ranking. But I think one of the really good achievements that I did is that I stayed almost 10 years inside the world top 20. I was very consistent in getting good results inside the world top 20.
Yeah. What did a day of your life look like when you were a professional?
Very disciplined and very focused as well. At least 3 training sessions per day. Early morning, very early morning fitness session, maybe at 6 to 7 or 6 to 8 a.m. fitness session, very early morning, summer and winter, anytime. When I was a student, I used to train before going to school or before going to university. Usually I can train from like 6 to 7 a.m. and then go to school at 8 a.m. So I had a very early training session, fitness session, and then I have 2 squash sessions per day, one early and one morning session and one evening session. And sometimes I have another fitness session in the afternoon, depending on the fitness program. Mm-hmm. But usually 3 training sessions per day, 6 days per week, only one day rest. Usually 2 training sessions in the morning. I go back, have lunch, rest for a while, and then go once more to the club, have another session, and then go back home.
That's crazy. Are there any juniors that you coach that are now professionals?
Yes, many, many of them. I'm proud that I have coached almost all the Egyptians' top 20 players, men and women, that are currently in the top. Be more specific, I coached Ranim Elwaleli, was one of the first top juniors that I coached. I coached her when she was 17 years old, when she won the world championship under 19. Mm-hmm. Also in the girls, I coached Hania Hamami, also when she won the world championship under 19. Rawan Al Arabi, the Alexandria, also world champion under 19. In the men, I coached Omar Mosad when he was young. I coached Amr Khalid Khalifa, the world junior champion under 19. I coached most of the top players who are already in the top now.
So you mentioned in like one of your presentations, like I was just watching them, reading up on you, that there are about 2,000 rising juniors in Egypt from the ages 5 to 10. Why do you think there are so many rising juniors?
Many reasons, but 2 main reasons I can say. One from the parents' point of view and one from the players' point of view. From the parents, the adults now, they see that Egypt is the best country in squash. So the parents, they see the opportunity that the Egyptians can excel in squash and can become world champions. So when they choose sports for the young kids, young boys or girls, many of them choose squash because they know that Egypt is very good in squash and that their boys and girls, they can be top level or top world junior level in squash. So parents choose squash. Lots of parents now choose squash for their kids. The other reason that the kids themselves, they see lots of role models now. They see lots of world champions, lots of very good players, top 10 players training in their clubs. You see in any of the Egyptian clubs, in any of the good Egyptian clubs, when you're here, when you're an 8 year or a 9 year old boy or girl going for training, you can see Ali Farag, you can see, used to see Rami Ashour, you see Nour Sherbini, Alexandria, you see Nour Tayyib, Ranim, Nouran Gohar, everyone. Lots of world top players training in front of you. So this gives very good motivation and very good role model in everything.
So as you mentioned, you've coached so many good players. What is your secret sauce, and how do you coach? How do you coach them so they can become, so they can have a next level of success?
I don't think there is no specific secret. It's a mix. It's everything. There we have, let's say, like in Egypt, we have a good technical advantage. We like the Egyptians, they like the variations, they like the technical game. We're very good technically. Also we do a lot of fitness as well, so we're very good technically. We work a lot on our fitness, so we have the technical and the physical ability. Personally, I also work with the players on the mental aspect, because it gives a very good edge, the mental training, the good advising, the good coaching, how I talk to the players during the matches and during training to motivate them, to keep them disciplined. It's another very good aspect. But we work on the three levels, the physical part, the technical part, and the mental part as well.
How are you staying physically fit during like the coronavirus and staying at home? And how are you staying mentally fit too?
The physical part actually easier. We do all my kids, they also play squash. We usually go for runs in the afternoon. Sometimes we take the bikes and go for a bike ride in the afternoon, or do some workout. We have now place in the basement in our house where we have some gym equipment and stuff to work out in the basement in the house. It's just me and my kids. Mentally, the tough part. Mentally is tight. When things get very boring, also after training, we watch movies, where I listen to music, I read a lot, start to do lots of things to distract me from thinking too much about the quarantine or about the bad effects.
Would you like to add anything on to anything? Or any of the questions?
No, actually, but I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the interview.
Thank
with
you.
with your way of talking, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank
you very much, Adam.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe to our show on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts.